What is your life's biggest mystery that will probably go unsolved? Story 1. The time I woke up on top of my refrigerator. I don't remember exactly how old I was, sometime in my early teens, but it's exactly what I said. I woke up on top of my refrigerator. I had been sleeping up there curled up like a cat, and to this day I have no idea how I got up there. There was nobody home at the time who would or could have put me up there while I was sleeping, and there's no way I could have climbed up there unassisted. But there were no chairs or stools or anything around the fridge I could have used to climb up, and I obviously couldn't have used one and put it back while I was still up there. I also had no prior history of sleepwalking whatsoever, and to my knowledge, I've never sleepwalked again since. To this day, I have absolutely no idea what happened, and it still bugs me. If anybody has any theories as to how this could have been possible, I would love to hear them. Story 2. Is my dad really my dad? When I was conceived, my mother and her then boyfriend were having some serious relationship issues. He had been unfaithful to her with his ex-wife. She went on a road trip to another state with some girlfriends to clear her head and blow off steam. While there, she ran into another guy she knew from back home. He had a nice car, offered to give her a ride in it, and they spent the night together. She went back home, and shortly after, she and her boyfriend reconciled and resumed dating. Not long after that, she found out she was pregnant. The boyfriend wanted her to have an abortion. I don't think he knew about the other guy, however, but she refused. They ended up breaking up sometime during her pregnancy. She was fairly sure that the guy with the car was the father, but didn't know for sure. The ex assumed he was the father, but didn't really want to take on a parental role. I came into the world, and during my second year of life, she wrote a letter to the guy with the car, using his mother's address, as she didn't know where he was living at the time. She told him about me and gave him the choice of being in my life or not. We were fine either way. She never got a response. Fast forward 13 years. My half-sister from my mom's previous marriage was getting married. The wedding was pretty close to the home of the guy's mother. I had heard everything my mom could tell me about him and really wanted to meet him. She went to the house, informed his mom of my existence, and left our phone number. He called later that night, and we arranged a meeting for the next day. We lived pretty far apart. We met, he was very friendly, and we began to form a relationship. He claimed he didn't need a paternity test and believed he was the father. My mom believed it too. He passed away in a fire about 4 years later. During the last 2 years of his life, we didn't get to see each other much, but we stayed in contact over the phone. My mom passed away shortly after due to medical issues. I haven't heard from her former boyfriend since I was a toddler, and I don't even know if he's still alive. Story 3. I moved into a new house in July. After unloading all the things I own, I realized that I had neglected some basics like toilet paper and dish detergent. I went out and stocked up on a few things, including a giant pack of my favorite toilet paper, the one with the bears on it, only to realize that my mom had picked some up for me while I was out. This giant pack of toilet paper became a thorn in my side as I moved into a house that was a complete gut job, and everywhere I turned I was tripping over boxes and such. There wasn't a shelf or cupboard big enough to store it, so I was always throwing it somewhere. Cue the day I actually need it. Where is this monstrosity? Nowhere. I searched every nook and cranny of my house, which had become a lot more organized over the past couple of weeks. I searched, I asked friends and family. It's gone. I went shopping and tried to forget about it. I still look for that giant pack of toilet paper. I can't forget. It haunts me. How does a humongous pack of toilet paper disappear? And this, I feel, will be the greatest mystery of my life. Story 4. Around 2004, I was working as a projectionist at a movie theater. One of the kids' movies had ended, but the last movie of the night still had about 50 minutes left of its runtime. So one of the things I would typically do was check the theater for left-behind loose change or unopened candy. I went down there and looked around for maybe 10 minutes. I made my way back upstairs thinking I still had about 40 minutes left in my shift. And next thing I know, my boss is calling me on the walkie-talkie asking if I'm done and ready to go home. I thought he was just messing with me, which he sometimes would do, so I didn't think much of it until I realized none of the movies were running. And to my surprise, I had somehow just jumped about 45 minutes into the future. Even my watch was showing the later time. I've never been able to explain it to myself, and at this point, I'm just assuming my mind made the whole thing up. Or maybe I'm a one-time time traveler who randomly moved ahead about 45 minutes for no apparent reason. Story 5. Back in 2004, I worked with an incredibly beautiful girl who one night while we were on a break together just poured her heart out to me about how difficult life had become. She was a single mom trying to make ends meet. Anyway, I got up to go back to work, but before I left, I offered her a hug. She stood up and hugged me for about 30 seconds. It was the tightest hug anyone has ever given me in my life. A couple of months later, I found myself moving halfway across the country for a career change that ended up not working out. About 6 months after that, I moved back and got my old job again. To my delight, she was still there, so I showed up on my first day back with a lot of excitement. Come to find out, she had 4 days left before she was moving on and to become a nurse. In some sense, it's almost like she did to me exactly what I had done to her, left for a career opportunity. I'll always wonder if she felt as strongly for me as I did for her. I never really got the chance to tell her. Maybe I should have. Story 6. Okay, so I decided to try a baby gymnastics class with my one-year-old. She was having fun, and I decided to grab my phone to take a few photos. I noticed it wasn't with my bag, but I didn't panic. I probably left it in the car. I knew I had it in the car because I'd been listening to the Hamilton soundtrack. I finished the class and walked to my car, which was parked parallel to the gym. I put the baby in her seat and called out, "Hey Siri," a trick I often use to find my phone. Siri didn't respond. I was slightly more concerned, but I still got in the car, expecting it to connect to my phone via Bluetooth, because it had to be in the car, right? I started driving, but nothing happened. Now I knew for sure that my phone wasn't in the car. I was already nearby, so I pulled into my mom's house. She lives 2 minutes from the gym, frantically calling my number. To my relief, a woman answered and said I had left my phone at the gym. I thanked her profusely and told her I'd come right back to collect it. She said, "Okay." I drove back to the gym, walked in looking a bit embarrassed. The coach smiled and said, "Forget something." I laughed and said, "My phone." Then she said, "Yeah, go walk around and look for it." I paused. "What? But I just called it, and a woman said it was found here?" The coach looked just as confused, saying no phone had been handed in, and no one had come in since I left. She asked the two other moms present if they knew anything. They didn't. Now I was truly confused. I borrowed the gym's phone to call my number again. It rang, but no one answered. I stood at the desk for 5 minutes just trying to process what was happening before I asked the coach if I could borrow her phone to use Find My iPhone. She handed it over, and I logged in. The compass spun a few times, then stopped. My phone was close by, only 3 streets away, at another gym. I thanked the coach, drove to that gym, which I had never entered in my life, and saw my phone sitting on the counter. I asked the receptionist who turned it in, but she didn't really know. How did it get to the other gym? Where was it found? Who found it? And why didn't they return it to the first gym? Since it must have been lost on the sidewalk from the car to the original location? I still don't know how it got to the other gym or where it was found. I don't think I ever will. Story 7. Every Valentine's Day for the last 10 to 12 years, I've been sent a secret admirer card. Same handwriting, always in all caps, always bearing a postmark from a London sorting office. To this day, I have been unable to determine who's sending it. My biggest suspicion is that it's either my mother or my sister. My reasoning is that the card started when I was a teenager, a socially awkward kid who didn't exactly have admirers, and I just can't believe someone outside my family would keep this going for so long. I've asked my mom and sister about it numerous times, but they firmly insist it's not them. I've asked other family members, and they all deny it too. I've tried getting upset and pleaded with them, telling them it's starting to bother me, and I'd rather just know the truth. But still, the cards arrive. Either my family has way more willpower and persistence than I give them credit for, or my mystery admirer is truly anonymous. Regardless, it continues to bug me like crazy. Story 8. I once got a random message on my phone saying 400 minutes had been added to it. No idea how, considering the only people who could have done it didn't have that kind of money at the time. It was a nice surprise. When I was 17, I heard sounds like someone stomping on my roof. I thought maybe it was the landlord or his son, since we had recently complained about a leak. I looked everywhere outside, but there were no vehicles, no ladders. The stomping continued for about 10 minutes back and forth, then stopped. At 15, I went to take a nap after staying up late the night before. My mom came home from work, banged on my door, and I walked out of my room. Immediately, I was hit with a massive wave of heat, and my mom asked what was going on. I was confused and asked her the same thing. When she came in, she found the oven open and turned up to max, and one of the dining chairs placed directly in front of the bathroom door. The chair had been moved there once before, during the night when my mom had gotten up to use the bathroom. I could go on, but that's probably enough for now. Story 9. A few years ago, I was driving through East London with some friends, literally just driving around without any destination. We had been on the road for about 10 minutes when I noticed flashes coming from the car in front. Then more flashes. I realized they were taking pictures of my car. After a few shots, they sped off. We kept driving for another 30 to 40 minutes, and while going through a different area of East London, someone in another car ahead of us stuck a camera out the window and started taking more pictures. After a few photos, they sped off too, this time running multiple red lights. There were a lot due to roadworks. About 20 minutes later, we were near the first location where the photos were taken. We drove into a nearby council estate, and I realized a car was following us closely. I took a left turn, so did they. I turned right, and they followed again. I pulled into a car park, they did too. I pulled out, they followed. I started to feel uneasy, just about ready to speed away, when suddenly blue lights came on. The car following us was an undercover police car. I got pulled over, two plainclothes officers approached the vehicle and asked me to step out. They showed their badges, checked my license and details, looked through the windows but didn't search the car, and eventually let me go. I still don't know if those were three unrelated incidents, or two weird encounters followed by a police stop, or if everything was somehow connected. It didn't sit right with me that I was photographed in my car, miles apart, with both cars speeding off, and then later pulled over for the first time in my life. I was a new driver at the time. Was I being followed? Was my old car somehow interesting to random people? I don't know if you'd call it a mystery, but it still feels like one to me. Story 10. Sometime around 2008, two roommates and I saw a giant, winged reptilian creature flying above our Henderson, Nevada home late one night. After maybe an hour or so, it flew off into the darkness. We dubbed it the Mothman, like the antagonist from the movie with the same name. The next night, there were two. They flew in lazy circles over our subdivision, like hawks searching for mice in a field. One of them flew low enough that the streetlights illuminated it, and I clearly remember seeing a well-defined quadriceps muscle. The night after that, the sky was full of them, along with smaller barking-type things. I can't even begin to describe what they looked like. Then they were gone. Forever. For months after, we'd stay up late, smoking cigarettes in the bed of my truck, watching the skies. The kicker to the story is that years later, after I moved to the Pacific Northwest, my girlfriend and I were hanging out by the river. We chatted with the family next to us, and when I mentioned where I used to live, the guy asked, "You ever see any of them flying gargoyles?" My girlfriend, who already knew the story, and I looked at each other in total shock. Apparently, he had a friend in Arizona who told a similar story. I'm not religious. I don't buy into outlandish things other people say. I think chemtrails are just vapor condensation. Bigfoot? Probably a guy in a costume. I've never claimed to be abducted by aliens. But I have one giant unexplainable mystery that I don't think I'll ever solve. Story 11. I had a favorite toy as a kid that I played with every day, and I always kept it separate from my other toys so I wouldn't waste time looking for it. It sat inside this end table looking thing. One day I went to grab it, and it was gone. I searched everywhere, and my 5 or 6 year old self interrogated the whole family. No one had any idea where it had gone. Years later, as a teenager, I found it underneath a cardboard box in the basement, which had somehow slipped under the tool bench. I still have no clue how it got there. Side story, I'm convinced I have a doppelganger with similar tattoos to mine in Georgia. I'm from Indiana. I had to travel there for work and had never been in that state before, not even in passing. I stopped at a gas station just outside Atlanta, and as soon as I walked in, the young cashier smiled brightly and said, "Oh my gosh, hi." Confused, I smiled and said hi back. She asked how I'd been and then said, "I see you finally got your half sleeve finished." I had just completed it about a month prior. I was definitely weirded out, but I went along with it. Then she asked, "Are you still getting your shoulder covered up?" I do have a tattoo on my shoulder, and I had been planning to get it covered for a few months. I quickly wrapped up the conversation and left. To this day, I have absolutely no clue what happened, or maybe it was just an extremely strange coincidence. Story 12. It was 1996, and I was backpacking solo, taking a train from Prague to Český Krumlov. We got a bit outside Prague, stopping now and then at various stations. Then we stopped in a field. I didn't pay much attention at first until a minute or two later when I realized everyone was getting off the train with all their luggage and climbing a hill. I was totally confused. I looked around and saw that everyone had left my car. Actually, everyone had left all the cars. So I grabbed my backpack and followed them up the hill, trying desperately to find someone who spoke English. At the top of the hill were a bunch of buses with signs in Czech, each apparently indicating different destinations, but none of them said Český Krumlov. I stood there indecisively as buses started filling up and pulling away. Eventually, a little old lady grabbed me by the arm and pulled me into one of the last buses. There were no seats left, though someone kindly offered one to her. So I stood. We drove. I had no idea where we were going, why we were going there, or how long it would take. Still, I couldn't find anyone who spoke English. After about 20 minutes, we reached a small station in a rural area, and there was a train waiting. It looked about the same as the one we'd been on, though I couldn't be sure it was the same. All the buses pulled in, and everyone got back on the train. So I did too. Eventually, we arrived in Český Krumlov, and I got off. To this day, I have no idea what happened. Was the track damaged? Was it some kind of emergency? A herd of cows blocking the line? A quiet disaster they didn't want to mention? Was it always part of the plan to switch to buses? I'll never know. Story 13. Who called me at my new house, on my new landline number, from a very old cell phone showing my dad's name on the caller ID, a year after he had passed away, and many years after we had lost that phone and number? I wasn't even in the same state anymore. I had moved and changed numbers several times, and only one person, my husband, had our new number. This happened about 7 years ago, and I can't remember whether I actually answered the call and no one was there, or if I just stared at the caller ID with my dad's name until it stopped ringing. I was just so confused and deeply unsettled. I tried calling the number back, but never got an answer or voicemail. I contacted every phone company that might have been associated with that number, explained my situation, thinking maybe it was a stolen phone, but still, how would they have my new number? And why would they call me? None of the providers had records of that number or name anymore. And honestly, I think they thought I was losing it. The only somewhat logical explanation I have is that an old acquaintance somehow ended up with the phone and tried to contact me and had somehow tracked down my new name and number. Or maybe I imagined the whole thing. I'll never really know. Story 14. My mom and dad were very sick in their final months. My dad was paraplegic, and my mom was his full-time caregiver. She was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and after about 7 months, we knew what was ahead. She was going to pass away. My dad had a lot of issues, including struggles with alcohol. I sat down next to him one day and told him he needed to start taking physical therapy seriously because she was getting weak and couldn't continue caring for him. He passed away in his sleep just a few days later. It was peaceful. My mom found him in the morning with a glass in his hand. That's how calm it was. He had an entire pharmacy at his bedside, including Vicodin and fentanyl. When the hospital asked if I wanted an autopsy, I declined. I was 23 at the time and felt he had been through enough in those last years. I couldn't bear the idea of his body being cut open for answers. My mom, already very sick herself, didn't argue with my decision. She was honestly overwhelmed with a mix of relief and guilt. Relief that she wouldn't have to take care of him anymore, guilt for feeling that way, and anxiety about her own health. She passed just under 4 months after him. I think he may have ended his own life by overdosing, but I'll never know. A lot still haunts me about those last few months and what I could have done differently, but I was a mess and far too young to navigate that situation with a clear head. Story 15. My girlfriend and I moved into an apartment about a year ago. Nothing strange happened for the first month or so. Then one day, her mostly blind dog was staring into the closet and barking. We thought he was barking at a dress, so we said, "Come on, Nelson, it's just a dress," and shut the closet. But he kept staring in that direction with an intense, almost aggressive focus. A bit later, something slid off the counter on its own. It was a little weird, but we didn't overthink it. Then one day I was walking to the bathroom and saw something run across the hallway. I asked my girlfriend where Nelson was, just in case it was him, but she said he was right next to her. Another day, while I was at work, my girlfriend said she saw something that looked like a shadowy, cat-like figure. We know it wasn't an actual cat, or any animal, because I'm severely allergic. We've just come to accept that maybe the place is haunted by a ghost cat. Story 16. A few years after I moved out of my parents' house, though I still visited weekly, they kept calling me one week to tell me they saved a piece of coconut custard pie for me. They were making a really big deal about it, which felt odd. When I got there that Friday, they were still going on and on about the pie. When it came time to eat it, I noticed there was only one piece missing, not one piece saved. Strange, but I didn't dwell on it. They both watched me closely as I took a bite. It tasted terrible, like chemicals or cleaning solution. I spit it out and told them something was off. They tried to get me to eat more, saying maybe I could figure out what went wrong with it. I refused. They started acting very strange, so I asked what was going on. My mom acted confused and upset, saying there was nothing wrong, it was just pie. Then my dad casually got in his car and left. I pressed them about it many times afterward, but never got a real answer. When I really pushed, my mom would get emotional and accuse me of being paranoid or strange for thinking something was off. I spent years with them after that, never learning what actually happened. Now they're both gone, and I still have no answers. Story 17. When I was around 10 years old, my dad and I were walking down some train tracks in West Virginia. Out of nowhere, a young man appeared from the woods, probably in his early 20s. He was shirtless and had strange markings on his chest and face. It looked like he had used berry juice to paint on himself. He came over and started talking to us. I don't remember everything he said since I was just a kid, but what I do remember has stayed with me. The tracks we were walking followed a winding path through the woods and eventually crossed a huge river via a narrow bridge. The bridge had no room to walk beside the tracks, just wide enough for the train. He told us that he walked across that bridge all the time and claimed a train had never come while he was crossing. He said a few more things and then went on his way. A few minutes later, we saw him reach the bridge and start crossing. When he was about a quarter of the way across, we heard a train coming from our direction. It passed us going fairly quickly and blocked our view of the bridge. Then we noticed the train slowing down and eventually coming to a complete stop. It couldn't stop fast enough, though. The first car was about three quarters of the way across the bridge by the time it halted. We ran to the edge of the cliff to see what had happened. We looked at the land on the other side and down into the river below, but there was no sign of the guy. The train sat there for a few minutes and then started back up and left. We never found out what happened to him, and I think about it all the time. Story 18. I went to stay at a castle with my husband and his family members. I don't believe in ghosts, but they do, so they were planning to play ghost hunters. I just wanted the experience of staying in a castle. We were allowed to wander around at night after a guided ghost tour. The room we went to allegedly had two main spirits, a boy in blue and a gray lady, the usual kind of legends. The rest of the group sat in the living room, while I sat apart at a little folding table in the kitchen area. It was open plan. They didn't want my skeptical presence ruining the energy while they tried to communicate. They started asking things like, "Is anyone there?" but weren't getting any responses. Suddenly, I felt the energy drain from my body. I couldn't even hold my head up and had to rest it on the table. Then I started feeling these strange electric-like sensations touching me. I told them what I was experiencing and that I felt something touching my head. They turned the camera toward me, and on the footage they could see a bluish orb flying out of my head. I said I could feel something touching my back, and sure enough, the orb then appeared to exit from my back. That continued for about 5 minutes, me describing where I felt something, followed by the orb appearing to come in or out of that exact spot. Then just as quickly as it started, it stopped. I felt completely normal again. That's my life's mystery. I don't believe in the supernatural. I believe there's probably a scientific explanation for what happened. There's still a lot we don't understand. I don't think it was a lens flare. It was a pitch-black room with the curtains closed. I checked for reflective surfaces and there was nothing blue in the area. If it were just dust catching the infrared light from the night vision camera, it would be an incredible coincidence for it to match the exact spots I was naming, repeatedly. I don't think it was psychological either. I don't believe in that kind of stuff, and I was honestly trying to suppress laughter at how ridiculous it all seemed. I didn't convince myself into feeling or seeing anything, but that night still bugs me, and I think it always will. Story 19. I can't remember exactly how old I was, but I couldn't have been older than 10. I was living in a small military town in Idaho. One night around 10 p.m., the power went out in the neighborhood. I've always loved the stars, and my dad mentioned that with no lights around, I should go check out how the sky looked. It would be super bright. I went outside and spent some time just enjoying the view. Then I got the idea to climb up onto the roof over our patio. My dad kept a ladder leaning against the shed right next to the roof for that reason. I was about halfway up the ladder when I noticed something unusual. It took me a second to recognize it. It was the complete absence of sound. No bugs chirping, no wind blowing. Just silence. I looked up and saw something massive fly overhead, completely silent. It was dark, but I could just barely make out a huge shape behind it. It completely blotted out the stars. I had grown up near an Air Force base and was used to the sounds of jets flying overhead. This thing couldn't have been a jet. There was absolutely no noise. The silence was so intense I was frozen in place. I ran inside and told my dad what I saw. He didn't have any explanation. And even now, after serving in the Air Force for 10 years, I still don't have a good theory for what it could have been. It scared me then, and the mystery of it still sticks with me. Story 20. I was on a family trip to Yosemite when I was somewhere between 12 and 14 years old. I can't remember exactly. It was me, my parents, and my godparents. One night, walking home from dinner, we were on a path that had dark woods on one side and a part of town on the other. Through this particular stretch, there were no buildings on the left, just pitch-black forest on the right. My parents started walking ahead of me and my godparents, maybe about 75 feet ahead, while I stayed back talking with my godparents. Between us and my parents, there was an older lady walking alone, keeping pace. I was being a brat, intentionally, to my godparents, and they laughed and told me to go bother my parents instead. So I happily ran and skipped ahead. As I passed the older lady, she suddenly grabbed my shoulder and dug her nails into me. She said something along the lines of, "You better be nice to your grandparents." I'll never forget the sound of her bracelets. She was wearing maybe 7 to 10 of them, clanging together. The entire encounter lasted maybe 10 seconds. She grabbed me, whispered to me, and then I screamed and ran to my parents, crying. They asked what happened, and I explained everything. I went to point back at the lady, but she was gone. She couldn't have passed my parents, and she couldn't have walked into town, or we'd have seen her. That meant she must have gone into the woods. My parents didn't believe me until we got back to the hotel. They looked at my shoulder, and it was red with clear nail imprints and faint marks from bracelets. I'll never know who she was or why she walked into the dark woods that night. Story 21. I have two decent ones. One night, I came home after drinking and went straight to sleep. The next morning, I had a missed call and voicemail from an unknown number. The message was someone saying my name over and over again in a soft, almost crying voice. It sounded like a woman or a man trying to sound like one. The strange part? I had just moved to the countryside and had only given my number to two people, my wife, who was asleep next to me at the time, and my best friend, who had crashed on our couch that night because he couldn't drive home. The second story happened in college. A few friends and I took a spontaneous spring break trip to Colorado to go skiing. None of our family or friends knew exactly where we were. We just drove to Durango, hopped online at the local library, and started calling around to find a cabin. We eventually found a place with just a few cabins, all empty except for the one where the owner lived. On the first or second night, there was a knock at the door. It was the owner telling us we had a phone call on the main line at her cabin. One of my friends went with her, but by the time they got there, the caller had hung up. The owner said the person on the line had asked to speak to the guys from Oklahoma who were staying there. All our cars had Oklahoma plates, but no one outside the group knew where we were. The owner didn't have any more information. We were thoroughly creeped out, especially me, since I had to sleep in the living room, which had big windows with no curtains, while the others were in bedrooms. I'll never know who made that call or how they knew where we were. Story 22. When I was around 4 or 5 years old, I became obsessed with the idea of flying. I thought that if I just focused hard enough, I could lift off the ground. I practiced this for weeks until one day I actually started to float up to the upper part of a doorframe and then slowly back down. I was incredibly excited and ran to tell my mom. She didn't believe me at first, just said, "Yeah, sure." But the thing is, she remembers that day. It never worked again after that, not even later the same day. Another strange thing happened around that same time. I got a floating balloon from a theme park and brought it home. I was alone with my parents out, feeling bored. The balloon had lost just enough gas to hover, with its string touching the floor. At one point, I decided to play hide and seek with it, and somehow it worked. I would hide in another room behind a sofa, and the balloon would float over to where I was and find me. No open windows. It happened more than once. For some reason, I expected it to work, like it wasn't just an inanimate object. I had no witnesses. What puzzles me most is that I didn't feel any fear. It was fun. I saw a kind of personality in that balloon. As I grew older, nothing similar ever happened again. I have no idea what any of that was, or if it was just a dream. But it didn't feel like a dream, and my mom's memory of the first event confirms at least that something happened while I was awake. Story 23. This past summer, I was dog-sitting for some friends of mine. They have a medium-sized older black lab. Such a beautiful dog. She rarely barks. One night, I woke up around 3 a.m. to the sound of barking outside. I listened for a moment, trying to figure out where it was coming from, and realized it was her. I knew for a fact she had been inside when I went to bed, and there was no one else in the house. I got up to let her in, assuming I had somehow misremembered and left her outside, only to find the back door wide open, with the deadbolt still in the locked position. The female side of the deadbolt was set into a load-bearing beam and showed no signs of damage. The dog came running in as soon as I got there. I shut the door and spent the rest of the night trying to calm down. The next day, I tried everything I could to figure out how that door opened while the deadbolt was engaged. I slammed into it with my shoulder, tested the hinges, nothing. I thought maybe it was spring-loaded and the door wasn't fully latched the night before. So when the dog pushed on it, it could have opened and the lock re-engaged after. But no, that wasn't it either. Everything was working normally. There were valuables near the door, untouched. I didn't sleep well the rest of that week, and I still get chills thinking about it. Before anyone suggests sleepwalking, my bedroom door was fully closed, and I have no history of sleepwalking. Still don't. Story 24. When my son was around 2 years old, he started coming home from preschool singing songs. But we couldn't always understand the words. Most of the time, we'd eventually hear the same song somewhere else, and he'd point it out as the one he was singing. For example, he kept singing something that sounded like Vorta Beat CI, and we had no idea what it was. Then one day we were watching Transformers on Netflix, and we realized he had been trying to say, "More than meets the eye." This happened multiple times. He'd sing something we didn't recognize, and eventually we'd figure it out. But just before he turned 3, he started singing something different, what sounded like Tristable BB, and sometimes Tristable Yucky. We assumed it was another song or phrase we'd eventually understand. We even asked his preschool teacher, but she had no idea what it could be. Not long after, he changed schools, and the mystery phrase never got an answer. To this day, he occasionally still says it, and we still have absolutely no idea what it means. It's just become one of those family mysteries we may never solve. Story 25. I know I accidentally created a mystery for someone else, and they might still be trying to figure it out all these years later. I've been with my boyfriend for 5 years. In the first couple of months, we kept things almost completely quiet. The complication was that my ex, who I'd broken up with amicably, was kind of friends with my current boyfriend. They were both in the same friendship circle, and to avoid drama, we just kept it under wraps. One evening, I was hanging out at my boyfriend's place when a mutual friend of my ex showed up unannounced to return a video game. I quickly ran upstairs to hide. Honestly, it was kind of fun and exciting. She stayed downstairs chatting for a while, maybe an hour. I could hear my boyfriend trying to gently get her to leave since I was stuck upstairs. Eventually, she went to go, but then came back in because her car wouldn't start. My boyfriend offered to go out and take a look. I should mention we had a cat. When the friend had arrived, I heard my boyfriend say he was putting the cat in the kitchen because she was allergic. The kitchen had a solid door with a sturdy handle. When they both stepped out, I got really thirsty and went down to the kitchen to grab a drink. I didn't realize the cat had slipped out into the living room. I ran back out of the kitchen and closed the door behind me. When they came back inside, I heard the friend exclaim, "What the actual heck?" She was baffled to see the cat sitting in the living room. She even tested the door handle, trying to figure out how the cat got out. She was absolutely convinced she'd seen my boyfriend shut the cat in the kitchen, and he confirmed he had. She talked about it for months afterward, trying to make sense of it. I always wonder if she still thinks that cat had magical powers. Story 26. I was a freshman in college when I started receiving a series of mysterious and increasingly threatening phone calls. At the time, I was pledging a fraternity and assumed some of the brothers were pranking me. The calls always came from a restricted number. At first, they seemed harmless, asking how I was enjoying the pledging experience, that sort of thing. But over time, they got darker. The callers started making threats, saying I was going to be hurt, or worse. The weirdest part wasn't even the threats. It was when the caller began contacting random people in my life and telling them that I was in love with them. There was no pattern to who these people were. Many were men. Now, I am queer, but I was deeply in the closet at the time, and I'm certain none of the fraternity brothers knew that. I only found out because people, some of whom I hadn't spoken to in years, started independently reaching out to me, asking why they were receiving bizarre voicemails. Eventually, I confronted the fraternity's president and told him to ask the brothers to knock it off. He seemed genuinely confused and insisted no one in the fraternity was behind it. Eventually, the call stopped. But to this day, I still wonder how the caller, A, knew such intimate details of my life, and B, why they would spend so much time and energy doing something so strange and seemingly pointless. I'd like to know who it was one day, but I've mostly accepted that I never will. Story 27. Back in college, there was a girl I really liked. Her smile could brighten the gloomiest day. I remember it doing just that once. She had been struggling academically and was falling behind. Before winter break, I finally gathered the courage to ask her if she'd want to go out with me sometime. She said yes. One day during my vacation, this was in 2008, I really wanted to talk to her. I had her number saved and almost dialed it. I was in a different country at the time, visiting family. But something stopped me, maybe a bit of ego. I thought she could have called me too. So I didn't call and just went about my day. The next morning, several seniors and classmates contacted me with devastating news. She had passed away. Apparently, she had gotten access to her uncle's service revolver and taken her own life. I reread the messages and news articles over and over. The timeline seemed to match the very moment I'd almost called her. I still wonder what might have happened if I had just dialed that number. Maybe I could have said something. Maybe I couldn't have done anything. I've never told anyone about this. Not the people I've dated. Not my family. No one knows. I guess this felt like a good place to finally share it. The anonymity makes it easier. Story 28. It was around 10 p.m. on a Tuesday night. My friend Danny and I had this tradition of hitting the McDonald's drive-thru, grabbing some food, and parking back at his place inside a trailer park complex. We'd sit in the car, eat, and watch conspiracy videos on his phone. We talked a lot about the wild things people claim to have seen, even though neither of us had ever experienced anything strange. Around 11:30 p.m., we were sitting in my car, watching a video, when suddenly a bright light flashed across a third to half of the sky. It only lasted a second and then disappeared. The light was incredibly bright, but oddly, it didn't illuminate the ground or surroundings. We both froze and stared at each other. Then it flashed again. "You saw that, right?" I asked. "Yeah, what the heck was that?" Danny replied. It flashed once more, and we both freaked out, jumped out of the car, and started recording on our phones. But the light never came back. Around midnight, I drove home and stopped at a nearby Subway that's open 24/7 to ask if anyone working had seen it. They hadn't. We later looked up videos and tried to figure out what it could have been, but nothing matched. It was a bright white light that filled a massive section of the sky with no sound, no rumble, and no glow on the ground. I was 17 when it happened. Now I'm 23, and we still have no clue what it was. I've told a lot of people about it. It's not that they don't believe me, but it's really hard to describe the scale of what we saw. Most people shrug it off like it was just a flashlight or something small, but this thing filled what looked like half the sky. It was pure white and blinding, but it didn't cast any light on anything else. I've watched tons of lightning videos, and I can say with 100% certainty, it was not lightning. Story 29. I'm 14 years old, attending a summer camp organized by one of the local churches. I'm wearing a silly, funny hat, because that's what nerdy, chubby kids who use humor as a defense mechanism tend to do. The hat makes absolutely no sense, but at some point, I get this strange feeling that a girl is flirting with me. We didn't really know each other, though we had gone to the same schools for 6 years at that point. She was a year younger, cute, and popular. And me? I'm overweight and nerdy, so I naturally assume she isn't flirting. On the last evening, I returned to the tent I share with two other boys and noticed that my hat is missing. I had left it in the tent because we had attended some kind of evening mass. It was strange, but not the end of the world. Even stranger, under my pillow, I find a pair of girls' underwear. How did they end up there? I ask the other boys if they're messing with me, but they insist they're not involved at all. A couple of months later, during the annual school play, I'm in the audience. The cute girl's older sister is on stage doing a skit, and the hat she's wearing looks exactly like the one I lost. I have so many questions, but none of them have ever been answered. It's been 26 years, and I doubt they ever will be. Story 30. My good friend and college roommate went missing at sea. He disappeared on a beautiful sunny day in Biscayne Bay. He was an incredibly experienced sailor, having represented the U.S. in the London Olympic Games, and had spent his entire life on and around the ocean. His inflatable boat was later found that day, tangled in some mooring lines in the same harbor he had departed from. His life jacket, wallet, and cell phone were found on the boat, but there was no sign of Trevor. The GPS showed he had sailed directly to a specific spot in the bay where he kept crab and lobster traps. Then the boat appeared to zigzag back and forth before eventually drifting back into the harbor. Most people think he drowned, but this man was an incredible athlete and knew the water as well as anyone could. For context, Biscayne Bay is a shallow body of water with a sandy bottom and crystal clear water. Anything floating would be visible from the sky. A massive 3-day search and rescue operation was launched, involving tide scientists, drones, helicopters, and a fleet of boats. They scoured the area thoroughly, but his body was never found. Story 31. When I was around 13 years old, I was playing football with friends at a local park. The field was massive, big enough to fit about 5 full-size football pitches. During the game, I noticed a woman, maybe 100 meters away, taking photos of us, specifically me, with a large camera. It really looked like she was focusing on me as I was playing goalkeeper and was standing apart from the other kids. She had long black hair, was dressed all in black, but was too far away to clearly see her face. I thought it was strange, but carried on playing. By the time I mentioned it to my friends, she had vanished. Later that week, at home, I went outside to take the rubbish to the garden bin. It was already dark, though probably not too late, maybe around 8 p.m. Our garden was about 100 feet long, lined with flowers and bushes on both sides. As I opened the bin, I saw 2 large flashes on the right-hand side of the garden, further down near the bushes. I froze in fear. Then another flash, exactly like a camera flash, went off, and I bolted back inside. For some reason, I didn't tell my parents. Maybe I thought they wouldn't believe me. There was no logical explanation, and it never happened again. I'm 28 now. This happened 15 years ago, and I'm still totally confused by what happened that night. Story 32. One night I was sitting with my mom watching TV, waiting for my older sister to get home. My mom was on one couch, and I was on the other. We were upstairs in the family room, which overlooked the stairs connecting the first and second floors. It was around midnight. My mom was trying to stay awake, though she kept dozing off. She was angry at my sister for breaking curfew again and didn't want her sneaking in unnoticed. We'd been watching TV for about an hour when we heard the downstairs front door open. We heard shuffling around. No big deal. We assumed it was my sister. My mom sat up, waiting for her to come up the stairs. We waited and waited. Then we finally heard someone coming up the stairs, but the steps were slow, heavy, and accompanied by strange guttural noises. We watched as someone reached halfway up the stairs and stopped. In the dim light of the TV, we could only see a silhouette from the shoulders up, just standing there, staring at us, and we were staring back. After a moment, the figure turned, went back downstairs, and exited out the front door. My mom looked at me, and we were both completely weirded out. About 5 minutes later, my sister walked in, loud and obnoxious as usual, chatting on her phone, turning on lights, and acting totally normal. She had no clue what had just happened. While my mom grilled her for being late, she also questioned her about the weird behavior at the door. My sister was genuinely confused and had no idea what my mom was talking about, and I could tell my mom believed her. My sister wasn't into pranks, and she wasn't creative or sneaky enough to pull something like that off. Later that night, my mom came into my room and told me never to tell my sister what had happened. She said my sister was such a scaredy cat that it could seriously mess her up. We still don't know what or who it was. Maybe it was a drunk neighbor who walked into the wrong house. Maybe it was something worse. We'll never know. Story 33. I studied abroad in Florence, Italy last fall. My girlfriend was also studying abroad that semester, but in Prague. During the third weekend of the semester, she came to visit me. We had a pretty normal day exploring the city, and around 6 or 7 p.m., we decided to head back to my apartment so I could introduce her to my roommates. I was living on the fourth floor of an older apartment building about half a mile from the Duomo. On rainy days, the building gave off a weird smell, but that's pretty common in older European cities. Other than that, it was a great place. When you enter the building, there's a long, windowless hallway that leads to the stairwell, which connects to all the apartments. There's a button near the entrance that turns on the hallway lights for about 5 minutes. You can also find one of these buttons on every floor, so you don't have to walk in total darkness. When we walked in, the lights were already on, which wasn't common, but probably meant someone had just come in or was on their way out. We got about halfway down the hallway when the lights shut off, leaving us in total darkness. No big deal. I pulled out my phone to use the flashlight, but as I was doing that, we heard footsteps behind us. At first, they were slow, then louder, then faster, until it sounded like someone was sprinting toward us. Florence has a reputation for pickpockets and thieves. I'd already been robbed twice, so I assumed someone had slipped in behind us to mug us. I quickly pushed my girlfriend behind me, raised my hands to defend myself, and then, just like that, the lights flicked back on and the sound stopped. We looked around, but no one was there. Totally freaked out, we ran upstairs to my apartment. I still have no explanation for what happened in that hallway. Story 34. I was 17 and working at a gas station. My mom was the manager. On weekends, I opened the store by myself at 5 a.m. I followed the usual routine, opened the store, completed my morning tasks, and waited for customers. Eventually, someone came in to buy something, but I couldn't see the buttons on the register. Everything looked spotty and blurry. The customer asked if I was okay, then told me I was bleeding. I reached back and touched my head. My hand came back covered in blood. I don't remember much after that. The customer called 911. At some point, I apparently called my mom and told her something was wrong, but I don't remember making that call. My mom said the ambulance was already there when she arrived. She told me she nearly passed out from the sight of all the blood coming from my head. I ended up with a concussion, stitches, and a ride to the hospital. To this day, I have no idea what happened. There was a security camera aimed at the register, but whatever happened to me didn't happen there. There was no blood anywhere in the store, only on me, and nothing was missing. That was over 15 years ago, and I still don't know what caused it. Story 35. I woke up in bed and couldn't move my body, but I was 100% awake and fully aware. I honestly thought I had been paralyzed from the neck down because I could move my eyes and look around the room. A dark shadow seeped in from under the door and slowly took the shape of something that looked like a cross between the Grim Reaper and a banshee, though it didn't have a scythe. It looked like a dark specter in humanoid form. It moved around the room with long, shadowy arms that seemed to be feeling their way through the space. It moved as if it were assessing me. Not in a threatening way, but I still felt an overwhelming dread. It felt like this thing was waiting for me to die. I've never been more terrified in my life. It felt like it lasted forever. Slowly, I began regaining the ability to move my body. But I was extremely weak. I tried lifting myself with my elbows, but I collapsed again, completely drained. The shade was still there, clearly visible. But it began to shrink. As I gathered more strength and managed to fall out of bed and stand up, the shadow rapidly dissipated. What made this so terrifying was that I'm not a religious or superstitious person, but I know, without any doubt, that I saw what I saw. I've never told anyone because I knew no one would believe me. People might say it was a hallucination, but I've never experienced anything like that in my life. I've never taken drugs, never been on medication, never hallucinated before or since. This thing looked 100% real, and what terrified me wasn't just the paralysis, it was how real it looked. I'm a logical thinker. I've always thought of superstition and the supernatural as nonsense, but this event shook me. I actually found myself shouting into the empty room for it to come back. I looked under the bed, checked the house, hoping it would return. I wanted to talk to it. The fear had turned into curiosity and then into frustration. As much as I don't ever want to go through that again, some part of me wishes it would return, just so I could understand what it was. I know how this sounds, but I was wide awake, fully conscious, not dreaming. It happened, and I will never forget it. Story 36. This happened when my family was spending the night at my grandmother's house. I was around 10 to 12 years old, and I've never been able to explain it. I had been asleep and woke up from a nightmare about a werewolf-like creature with golden glowing eyes chasing me. I always slept completely under all of my blankets, so when I woke up, I was in total darkness and completely covered. It was hot, but I was too scared to move. Still, I was old enough to calm myself down and recognize I just had a nightmare. Eventually, I worked up the courage to lift the blankets just a little to let in some air. I chose the side of the bed not facing the wall. The moment I lifted the blankets, I saw the golden eyes. I immediately ducked back under and told myself I was imagining things. I took a breath, braced myself, and looked again. The eyes were still there. I was frozen with fear. I couldn't move. I just laid there, terrified. After what felt like forever, I finally screamed for my dad. It took a few tries, but he eventually came in and turned on the light. I sat up, crying. We both looked over at the same time and saw that the desk chair next to my bed had been pulled out and was facing me. My brother was in the same room the entire time and somehow didn't wake up through any of this. People always say it was sleep paralysis, but I was definitely awake. I was moving, speaking, aware of everything. I don't know what it was, but it still scares me to this day. Story 37. A couple of friends and I really enjoyed smoking in high school. We got into it later than most and had heard plenty of stories from other classmates about getting caught by parents or the police, so we decided to be extremely careful. To avoid getting caught, we kept all our stuff in a plastic cereal container wrapped in camouflage duct tape. We called it the box. Inside the box, we stored a small bong, a Helix pipe, rolling papers, swishers, grinders, and a glass jar. The box would get moved between hiding spots in our neighborhood. The rule was simple. If it wasn't at one of our houses, we couldn't get caught with it. We always made sure no one was watching when we picked it up or dropped it off. At one point, we were storing the box behind a tree about 15 yards off a quiet street, near a few empty lots next to a large house. We dug a shallow hole behind the tree and hid the box there, covering it with leaves and brush to keep it concealed. One day after school, we went to pick it up like we always did. But this time, something was off. The jar was missing. It had contained some rolling papers, stems, and a small bag with about 3.5 grams, maybe $40 worth. Everything else was still in the box, about $400 worth of paraphernalia untouched, but the jar was gone. Every now and then, one of us brings up the missing jar. Every time, it's followed by a few minutes of silence as we all quietly wonder what could have happened. To this day, we're still baffled by the great mystery of the missing jar. Story 38. About 20 years ago, I started chatting with a woman in a chat room. The conversation was deep and we quickly became attracted to one another. We ended up chatting for months, though we never spoke on the phone or met in person. We had a strong connection and discussed a lot of complex personal topics. I don't think we even traded pictures. The thought crossed my mind that maybe I was being catfished, but nothing bad ever happened. We just eventually stopped chatting. Every now and then, I'd log in to see if she was online, but she never was. 5 or 6 years later, my life fell apart. I moved to a new place and started over. I was in a very low place and grasping at anything that might lift my spirits. Out of habit or desperation, I logged back into that old chat client and, like a sign from the universe, she was online. We instantly reconnected, like no time had passed. This time, we did trade pictures. She was gorgeous. And to my surprise, she didn't think I was a troll either. It felt like something straight out of a movie. I was ecstatic. It genuinely felt like fate. Still, in the back of my mind, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. Until she told me she would be in my town for a conference and suggested we meet in person. So we did. And it was amazing. It was like a fantasy unfolding in real life, and I couldn't have dreamed a better version of it. At the end of the night, she invited me back to her hotel room. I went. We spent hours together in the most electric, intimate connection I've ever had. It's hard to even describe. Around 4 a.m., I had to leave because I needed to be at work in 2 hours. I'll never forget the moment I walked out the door, her flawless figure leaning in the doorway, whispering, "Please don't go." But I had to. Over the next 2 weeks, we kept talking and made plans to see each other again. The day came. She texted me that she was on her way and would arrive in about 4 to 5 hours. But 6 hours later, I hadn't heard from her. I kept trying to reach her, but she never responded. She never resurfaced. I spent years trying to find her again. I never discovered any sign that something bad had happened to her. I got no closure. I have a new life now, and I'm happy. But I still think about her every time I drive past that hotel. It feels like I met a ghost that became real for a brief moment. And I wonder what would have happened if I had let her pull me back through that door. Story 39. About 2 years ago, my family and I went on vacation for a week and a half. We had someone lined up to take care of our cats and dogs while we were gone, and we knew she was doing it. She kept in contact with my sister on Snapchat the whole time. Everything seemed fine. We got home around midnight one night. Her friend had been there earlier that day, and everything was reported to be normal. But when we walked in the door, the house smelled awful. It was a horrendous combination of cat urine, sour milk, and rotting garbage. That description doesn't even begin to convey how overpowering and disgusting it really was. The smell filled every room and made the entire house nearly unbearable. We were too exhausted to stay anywhere else that night. All we could do was open every window and try to air it out. Luckily, the room I was staying in didn't smell nearly as bad as the rest of the house, so I just dealt with it. Being a night owl, I stayed up the rest of the night on my computer. About an hour later, once everyone else was asleep, the smell hadn't faded at all. It was still just as strong, but I was hungry despite having zero appetite because of how bad it was. I wrapped a shirt around my mouth and nose to filter out the odor and went to the kitchen, where it was much worse. I put the shirt down, opened the fridge, and then the smell was gone. I mean completely gone, not weaker, gone. From the moment I left my room to the moment I opened the fridge, maybe 15 seconds had passed, that's it. But in that short window of time, the overwhelming stench that had filled the house just vanished. I know that might not sound like a big deal when you read it, but I can't explain how bad the smell was, or how sudden and complete its disappearance was. I've tried to think of rational explanations, but nothing fits. It's one of those things that has never left my mind. I still think about it because it was just so bizarre. A house filled with an unbearable odor one moment, and the next, it's gone without a trace.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.